Well, more and more states are talking about legalizing marijuana, and some Christians even think it's a good idea. What? And then what about Christian pastors engaging in violent combat sports and saying that Jesus is pleased with it?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, there are some subjects that just kind of amaze me. And I see people discussing certain things with all kinds of seriousness and passion. I think, are you kidding? However, we are going to give the opportunity for all different points of view to be aired today, as we commonly do here on The Line of Fire. Michael Brown, thanks so much for joining us. The number to call, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. There are a number of states that are considering legalizing marijuana. By the way, my focus today is not on the question of marijuana for medical use. And if there is a justification for it, then why should it be smoked? There are obviously other ways to ingest it. But that's not the main focus. The main focus is legalization of marijuana for recreational use. Is there any justification for it? Personally, I think it's an absolutely crazy discussion. I see no merit for it, no basis for it, no justification for it whatsoever. Personally, I'm completely against it. As someone who was part of the counterculture 60s and started smoking pot when I was 14 in 1969 and quickly went on to other drugs, including heroin and cocaine and speed and LSD. I'm not saying everyone goes in that direction, even most go fully in that direction. But for many reasons, I am against it, and all the more against the idea that Christians could be for it, or that some Christians have said, hey, if it was legal, I would do it. There's nothing in the Bible directly against it. 866-34-TRUTH. I was speaking with a grad from our ministry school yesterday, and he said that he was talking to the pastor of a big church who said, oh, if it was legal in my state, I would smoke it. It's recently legalized in Colorado, one other state, and there are people in Colorado saying, you know, it's a shame that we are now known for this. Others think it's a good thing, but we're going to discuss that today. You get to weigh in. Do you think there is any basis, any good argument for the legalization of marijuana? 866-348-7884. It doesn't surprise me that people who don't know the Lord, who are not believers, who will not share our moral or spiritual or biblical convictions, argue for it. And they may argue for it economically. They may argue for it and say, hey, look, you know, alcohol is legal. We saw what happened with prohibition and how ineffective that was. And what's the, you know, what's the good of fighting this as well? And, you know, kids get in trouble, or other people get in trouble, end up in jail, etc. And look, it's relaxing and positive. And people may come up with their arguments. Again, to me, the arguments are lame. That's my strong personal opinion, but you can weigh in on either side of this. And in particular, I would really like to hear from you. If you are a committed follower of Jesus and you think that there is a good reason to legalize marijuana, and even more, I'd like to hear from you if you would say, hey, if it was legal, I would smoke it in moderation as a follower of Jesus and don't see anything wrong with that. Now, some of you might say to me, well, Mike, you're being inconsistent. We know how destructive tobacco is, but you're not here advocating to make tobacco, cigarette smoking illegal. And, you know, we know how destructive alcohol can be, and you're not here advocating for another type of prohibition movement, and yet you're saying marijuana shouldn't be legal. Well, let's discuss it. 866-34-TRUTH. Phone lines are open. We're going to have an interesting discussion today. A few other things we'll get to update you on, and some other debates we'll have later over the course of 2 hours.
The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I became sort of a hero of the hippie culture, I guess, when I said I think we ought to decriminalize the possession of marijuana. I just think it's shocking how many of these young people wind up in prison and they get turned into hardcore criminals because they have a possession of a very small amount of a controlled substance. I mean, the whole thing is crazy. It's time we stop locking up people for possession of marijuana.
Yeah, that's surprisingly the voice of Pat Robertson, not in the reggae rap part, but in the statement. And Pat Robertson's on record for that. 866-34-TRUTH. Perhaps someone could say, well, if you've got a first-time offender caught with a small amount of marijuana, the punishments are pretty minor with that. And if they're too severe, those could be made more minor. But what's that got to do with legalizing anything? I was just handed a moment ago a very interesting article by Steve Raby. Steve is a top Christian journalist. I got to know Steve in the days of the Brownsville Revival. In fact, he wrote a great book on revival in Brownsville. I pulled it out of my bookshelf the other day and started reading it. It was stirred as I read it. It's from February 5th. This is about the Stanleys, a family of Christian pot farmers who are trying to be good stewards of, quote, God's plant. It's a plant that needs to be respected, not abused, they say, and if it can be used with discernment, it can help people a lot. And it's in an article about marijuana ministry. All right, again, my focus is not primarily on the issue of medical marijuana. That can be discussed separately if there is a legitimate medicinal use for it. I'm talking about legalization for recreational reasons. I'll give, again, my reasons for dismissing it completely as outlandish and wrong and certainly a step in the wrong direction, not the right direction. Feel free to call in if you have no particular religious conviction but are just weighing in as a listener to The Line of Fire, or first time you just happen to tune in and think, all right, while you're smoking a joint, you want to weigh in with your opinion. That's perfectly fine. We're going to have an interesting discussion today. 866-34-TRUTH. Let us start in Manhattan with Jay. Welcome to The Line of Fire.
Hi, Michael. Actually, I don't think it should be used for recreational use. It's actually a gateway drug. Some people will start with marijuana, and then they'll go to maybe cocaine or heroin, crack. They might even go to ecstasy, because I've seen too many of that happen, because I used to be in the arts and entertainment field. I used to go to these parties, and so many of these people got ruined. I mean, I know so many people who died of drugs, and they started with marijuana. I think marijuana should only be used as a medicinal drug, like the way Montel Williams said it, you know, it should be used because, you know, he has MS. And, you know, I have fibromyalgia along with my autism. So I can't see it being used as a recreational drug there.
Yeah, Jay, and it's always good to hear from you, and we do pray for God's grace to be at work in you physically and every other way that is needed, sir. Just a couple of thoughts. First, on the gateway issue, to me that's very major. So the question is, if that was not there as a gateway drug, would people just skip it and do something else? In other words, would legalizing it make it more of a gateway for more people? Or if people are going to do the harder things, would they do the harder things? For me, I would not have just jumped to the harder. I had to start at a certain place, and that was the gateway. So to me, that remains a very, very major argument that I've not yet heard overcome effectively. The other thing, Jay, on a medicinal level, can marijuana be used medicinally if a doctor prescribed it, that in a way that it does not have to be smoked so that it doesn't have the corollary damage?
Well, they're making it wafers and cookies.
Right. So we're in either way, we wouldn't be talking about smoking marijuana medicinally. Hey, Jay, thanks for getting us started. What about that issue? What about the fact that marijuana is the primary gateway drug? and it's the first thing that someone uses that then opens the door to other experimentation. And if that gateway was not there, many people would not take that step. And if you legalize it, you now make it much easier for people to take that first step. People that wouldn't have because it's less accessible or it's taboo, now more people will take it, which now opens the door for more abusive drug use. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Temple Hills, Maryland. Lawrence, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Thank you very much. First of all, I'd like to say that it's not factual that marijuana, cannabis, is a gateway drug. It's because it's illegal that it placed a lot of people who were using it into the same environment who were using cocaine, heroin, or whatever, and they, of course, experimented. The other thing, Scripture clearly says that if we do something that causes our brother or sister to sin or fail, we should do it. But at the same time, it's insinuating that some people are capable of stronger matters. Say, for example, Scripture itself. You have milk and then you have meat. But just because you are able to consume meat doesn't mean you have to do it around someone who's only capable of consuming milk. As far as marijuana is concerned, the Lord created the same bacteria that's found in alcohol, that the THC that's in marijuana. It's what people do with it that makes something good or evil. It's not the item itself. The Lord said all his creation is good.
Lauren, just to jump in with a thought, though, there are things in God's creation that are poisonous. So they're good for a certain purpose,
excellent,
meaning that they protect a plant or something else, or some of these things could be the result of the fall. So look, people getting high on mushrooms and things like that and so on. So just because something is created, I agree what God creates is good, but two questions. First, is some of this the result of the fall that the world is in the condition it's in? Or is it, look, a shark is a creation of God, right? That doesn't mean I swim in the water with a shark. So just because something, or the water is good, but I have to be very careful with, going in the water, I could drown if the circumstances are a certain way. But anyway, another fair question to ask is, what effect does pot have on us? What effect does it have in terms of if you're driving a car? What effect does it have on you if you're a follower of Jesus and commanded to be sober? And Lawrence brings up an interesting point that pot itself is not a gateway drug and that it somehow opens the door to other things, but it gets you around people who are doing other illegal drugs. Could be part of it. My own perception is, though, that it does open the door. It does create an interest. It does change your thinking. It does now put you in a direction which goes towards other things and human beings tending to go from bad to worse. 866-34-TRUTH, John in White Plains, Maryland. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hey, Dr. Brown, how are you? Just a quick comment. I used to do marijuana when I was a teenager, and I recall it really does take down your inhibitions. You're not totally in the right state of mind. So I'm concerned about, what if I'm a police officer or a paramedic or a doctor? I had 3 days off, and I've been getting high the entire time. It doesn't just leave your system right away. So is my judgment impaired now when I have to do my job on a non-getting high time? And then from a medicinal standpoint, is it possible with the technology to remove the negative effects of the drug and put it in a different form?
Yeah, on that question, John, we'll have to see if there's someone qualified to answer medically. But either way, on a medicinal level, it would not be for the pleasure of the drug or to smoke it.
Right.
And the big question, John, based on what you're saying, now we multiply that across society. We multiply it that you could be smoking a joint just as casually and easily as you could be smoking a cigarette or drinking a can of Coca-Cola or whatever. and what kind of effects. Now you multiply it, now you make it much more accessible. I wonder, you know, a major question I have as well is, okay, now that it's more accessible, more normal, you're telling me that kids aren't going to be around parents, some of the taboo taken away, that kids at younger ages aren't going to be doing this. And now, hey, if this is accessible and if this is legal, these other things that were just, you know, one little step over, you know, from marijuana to hash or whatever, and next step after that, what's so bad about it? 866-34-TRUTH. We will be back to take your calls. Phone lines are jammed, so keep trying to get through, and we will continue the conversation on the Line of Fire.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to the Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. I want to go right back to your calls, but first, let's just listen to someone arguing on behalf of the business aspects of marijuana. And all right, we've just got this mixed in with some music, but number 11, and hey, this is a matter of business and making money. Let's hear clip number 11.
As I take hits from the bar.
New states that are considering marijuana for adult use. I'm not wearing a Bob Marley t-shirt. I do not have dreadlocks in my hair. I'm business, and I've taken a very, very calculated approach in which to build my business, to position it to be at the apex, and I don't apologize for that.
That is Trip Keeber, owner of Dixie Elixir. Yeah, I'm sure with the best interest of society in mind, the band behind that Cypress Hill. 866-34-TRUTH. At the top of the half hour, so just a few minutes from now, I'm going to be joined by Bishop Ron Allen, who has extensive experience in the drug culture and a tremendous amount to say about how destructive it is to legalize marijuana. He'll be joining us. So again, those that are listening on WMCA, WAVA-FM, to continue listening, just go to my website or on your cell phone. Go to Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org, and click on the banner to keep listening. Back to your calls. Let's go to Joshua in Everett, Massachusetts. What's your take, sir?
How you doing, Dr. Brown? Hi. I'm actually a pastor, and coming from a lifestyle, I sold marijuana. I smoked marijuana in 2006. I was raided by the DEA because of selling marijuana. So I know the effects of it. It actually led me to a heroin overdose in 2006. And then right around there, the Lord came into my life and transformed me with
Thank
the gospel.
God.
But prior to that, I sold it to kids. I had no idea what it was doing to people. I was completely blind. It takes your whole ambition away to do anything productive, not even spiritually, but just in life itself. And, you know, it just leads you down a pathway, and they make it seem like this peace is so true, and it wasn't the peace that Jesus gives you, the peace that surpasses all understanding. And, you know, I was just caught off guard thinking I found the peace that you know, I needed in life, and if we smoke pot, we're all going to get along, and it's just going to be love and tolerance. And, you know, it's blinding people and taking people right down the pathway to hell.
And, so the whole, the whole pothead thing, the lack of incentive, the slowing down of the system. I know for me, before I got saved, with all the other drugs I was doing, I was pretty much smoking pot morning, afternoon, and evening. And I was in slow motion. I didn't realize it. But when my friends got saved and quit getting high, and we would be talking back and forth or trying to, you know, pull one-upsmanship or something like that, you know, these little mental games. I was way behind them, and I didn't even realize what it had. But, you know, there are effects. It's not a drug without effects. Hey, Joshua, thanks for calling. Thank God for his mercy in your life. What's the benefit? What's the benefit in legalizing the drug? I'm not getting it. Carlstadt, New Jersey. Bobby, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Thank you for taking my call, Pastor Brown. You know, I'm Christian. I went through a program called Teen Challenge. I started smoking marijuana. I'm HIV positive now for about 30 years. Through the grace of God, He has kept me in spite of myself. Now, the THC in the marijuana is what gets you high. Now, I know that everybody that smokes marijuana doesn't end up on heroin or with AIDS, but I know that 90% of every guy I ever got high with began with marijuana.
Yeah.
Now, as a Christian, now I'm talking to Christians now after saying this. As a Christian, I struggle enough as it is to keep my mind and to walk with the Spirit. Why would I want to grieve the Holy Spirit?
I'm totally with you, man, on every level. How is it going to enhance my walk with God, now on the Christian end, not the legalization end?
How is it going to
help me be sober? How is it? It has a very different effect. It is a drug. It's not as powerful as some other drugs, but it is powerful. And look, before I was saved, we would get high and listen to music and do nothing. And then when we got saved, we're sitting around looking at each other thinking, what are we going to do? Because suddenly there was a different level of motivation. There was a different level of focus. There was a different level of energy. And the whole thing of just doing this or vegging out or whatever, you know, the munchies. And you realize, wow, I was being totally non-productive. And I remember my dad saying to me, because my dad was so liberal in some of his thinking that he thought marijuana would be legalized one time. And his view was, if it's in the house and it's, you know, it's not abusive level, what's the big deal? This is my dad in the late 60s, early 70s, if you can believe this. But I remember him saying to me, you're becoming a pothead. You know, and so the fact is it does have effects. Yeah. All right, hey, listen, got to run, but thank God for his mercy in your life, and may his healing and restoring power be at work in you. So Bobby said 90% of everyone that he hung out with and got high with, they all started with smoking pot. There are so many other things, angles to discuss. We will take your calls, and we'll be talking with Bishop Ron Allen on the other side of the break for those that will be listening with us. You know, there is a whole lot of debate right now in society, an uproar around the country about the forced resignation of Mozilla CEO Brendan Eich. Here you've got a guy that's been an internet leader. You've got a guy that when our president said that he supported male-female marriage only, was against redefining. I didn't believe him then, but when he said that, Brendan Eich had the same position and donated to support Prop 8, forced out. There's a lot of outcry over it, but what does the Bible actually say on the issues of following Jesus and quote, gay Christians and gay churches and people who say we preach holiness, we love Jesus, but we're same-sex attracted, we're in a committed relationship? What does the Bible say? You can pre-order my book now, Can You Be Gay and Christian? $30 postage paid will give you a special edition. This is the first printing. It'll be out in less than a month. And the first printing, we number the first few hundred copies. So it is special, and it's one time only. And then I sign them with a scripture for you. So it's a special book that you will want to keep for a long time. 1-800-278-9978 to order. Great time to pre-order now. 1-800-278-9978. The earlier you order, the better number you have. Go to my website, AskDrBrown.org.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown.
your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
We have some examples of the 75 milligram sparkling THC infused elixirs. Here we have ginger mango dewdrops, medicated Rice Krispie treat.
Yeah, just some of the sales of pot in Denver, Colorado. 866-34-TRUTH. Michael Brown, welcome to the line of fire. Look, I want to be totally honest with you. To me, this is a weird discussion to have. Should we legalize marijuana? And even for Christians to advocate it is even more weird. Nonetheless, because it is something being discussed, because Christians are even talking about it, because it has been legalized in a couple states now and as many as eight more are talking about it, I wrote an article, What Are They Smoking? What Are They Smoking in Colorado? Where took up these issues and said, you know, the governor who said, well, he was against it. When I spoke to folks involved there in ministry in Colorado and media ministry, they just smiled at me and said, oh, yeah, he was really against it. In other words, they didn't think there was any depth to that. But he said, well, we're going to take the revenue from it and use it to have substance abuse programs and to teach people what's wrong with getting high. It's like, you're kidding me. You're going to make money from people getting high and then use that money for substance abuse programs to discourage kids. And clip number 15, it's an anti-drug public service announcement.
It's yours?
No,
I... Mother said she found it in your closet.
I don't know, one of the guys was...
Must have what?
Look, Dad, it's
Where did you get it?
Dad,
answer me. Who taught you how to do this stuff?
You, all right? I learned it by watching you.
Parents who use drugs have children who use drugs.
Ah, yeah, it sounds a little old, from the 80s. But, hey, simple question, is it accurate? And if marijuana is legalized and then you take the taboo away and then you make it more accessible, not only can kids get it more easily, doesn't it mean that they'll watch their parents do it? And they fall into the same pattern and worse. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Yonkers, New York, Kevin. All right, let's go to Let's go to El Paso, Texas. Mitch, welcome to the line of fire.
Hi, thank you. I just want to weigh in saying that I think that marijuana should not be legalized. I know the effects that it may have on people afterwards, but I think the root of the problem is the euphoria it gives you. I think that someone like that should have the message of Jesus preached because it's more of a distraction from real life.
Yeah, now, Mitch, I'm totally with you on that in terms of the effect of the drug, whatever level of euphoria. I understand that the way it's manufactured now or the way it's produced now, it's much more potent than when I did it 43, 44 years ago. But what about just on the larger level? Let's put aside gospel issues and just look on the larger level of society. Why would you say it shouldn't be legalized?
Well, I've had many friends and family members, unfortunately, that have used marijuana, and it really... just a decline in their personal life. I mean, every aspect of them just goes downhill. And, I mean, even to the point where you're not even sure if they're paying attention to you, it looks like they're just really spaced out. And, you know, I like my own, like I said, I have a family member who just is struggling every day because, like what was said earlier, it's kind of a gateway drug.
Yeah, and Mitch, I'm sorry to hear about family member and friends, but what's the benefit of legalizing it? I mean, really, I'm happy to tell you why I disagree, but can anybody give me a reason?
It's
The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
And we are trying to reach Bishop Dr. Ronnie Allen, excuse me, who is leader in Sacramento community and came out of a heavy drug background himself, and well, looking at a long list of accomplishments here, but he is involved with California for a drug-free youth and the California Border Alliance group. We're just having a hard time connecting with him right now, but hopefully we will shortly. 866-34-TRUTH. Okay, well, what about what Pat Robertson had to say? What about his position on this? Played this earlier, but let me just play this again. Clip number 13 this time. Background music, The Toys, a pro-pot voice behind Pat Robertson. All right, hang on. Which clip is that, Matt? I'm just looking at my... number 23, sorry. Let's just listen to Pat Robertson. Clip number 23. Let's see his reasoning, what he had to say as to why marijuana should be legalized.
I became sort of a hero of the hippie culture, I guess, when I said I think we ought to decriminalize the possession of marijuana. I just think it's shocking how many of these young people wind up in prison and they get turned into hardcore criminals because they have had possession of a very small amount of a controlled substance. I mean, the whole thing is crazy. It's time we stop locking up people for possession of marijuana. I mean, you know, we just can't do it anymore.
All right, so what I'm wondering about, though, is just how many people, with all respect to Pat Robertson, how many people, especially first-time offenders, go to jail for possessing a small amount of marijuana? I thought... in prison, one step even further. I thought that those penalties were reduced in certain ways and that the harsher penalties were for repeat offenders or for drug dealing on a certain higher level as opposed to some kid who's caught with, you know, a few joints or something like that. Maybe Pat Robertson is privy to information that I'm not privy to, but to say that's why you legalize it, to me, the whole argument is weak. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Baltimore, Maryland. Hey, Alan, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hello, Dr. Brown.
Hey.
Very good fan of your ministry, and I've called before. My question to the entire audience is, whatever happened to shun the very appearance of evil? Make no provision for the flesh. I hear in some of the callers, and I hear it in my daily life, a lot of Christians seem to be what I call C Christians, talking about on a grade scale instead of those who are trying to seek an A. They're trying to see how much sin can I get away with and still make it into heaven. I think that's a very dangerous way to think, and I don't know, it makes me wonder, you know, how close are you to Christ? How much do you really love him? We are saved so that we can run and abstain from sin as much as we can. That's why our nature is changed. We want to be more like Jesus in every way. Even if we're struggling, I'm still struggling with things, but I'm seeking with everything.
So why make it easier for the flesh? Why cater to the flesh? And again, the question on a societal level. Yeah, and Alan, look, I'm with you. It's the most bizarre thing when I hear a Christian say, oh, yeah, if it was legal, I would smoke it. I wonder, well, what are you doing now? I mean, what's going on in your life now? But on a societal level, what is the possible benefit? I just don't get it. So thank you, Alan, for the call. I'm with you on that. All right, we have connected with Bishop Dr. Ronnie Allen. We've shared some of his bio as we were seeking to connect with him. Most important in terms of what we want to talk about now is his work with California for a Drug-Free Youth and California Border Alliance Group as he's based in California, the greater Sacramento area. Bishop Allen, thanks so much for joining us on the Line of Fire.
Thank you very much for having me. I'm honored.
Now, a question, sir. You've appeared on Fox News and other major outlets talking about these things. For those who don't know you or in your background, what gives you expertise? What gives you basis for addressing this issue with such passion and some level of authority?
Well, I am, just the way of introduction, I am the CEO and president of the International Faith-Based Coalition. We are not a religious organization. We are a drug prevention, crime prevention organization that work with all religions. But more than that, sir, I am a recovering addict of 15 years from crack cocaine. I've seen the dark side of drug addiction. Not only that, but my gateway drug was marijuana.
And yep.
As much as I hear people say that marijuana is not a gateway drug, it is just amazing that they really don't believe that many of our youth will start with marijuana. And statistics tell us 1 out of 6 will go on to be addicted and use harder drugs.
Yeah, and of course, that was my own experience in the late 60s, early 70s. Started smoking pot at the age of 14, was shooting heroin at the age of 15. I know that's a stronger progression than many make, but I remember, sir, sitting in a presentation in junior high school where police came in and they showed us, here are the different drugs. And I remember one of the cops saying, and you start with the marijuana and you go to the heroin. And I remember sitting there mocking him in my mind, thinking, what in the world does he know about this? Of course, that was his business. And then I end up going that same course. Can you tell us why some states are advocating for it and saying that it would somehow benefit the state and benefit the society to legalize marijuana?
Well, you know that they're looking at the economic money. They're looking at they think that the economic or the money and the taxes will do the state well, but the social cost and the health and welfare cost of higher addiction, drug driving, more kids in rehab, emergency room visits, all of their taxes and economic finances that they believe that they're going to bring in is going to be eaten up by all of that. So the states do not care about quality of life. Many of the states do not care about the quality of life. Many of the states and their government and the politicians are like the local, what we call the local common drug dealer. Just give me the money, and we don't care about the quality of life. And so that's what we're seeing. If they absolutely clearly understood that the dope that our kids are smoking today, the marijuana that our kids are smoking today, is not the marijuana we smoked in the 60s and the 70s. The THC is off the chart, sir.
Yeah, I've heard, heard that very same statement. So it's not just the casual thing of just kind of smoke a joint, relax. Hey, there is the slowing down of the system, and there is the loss of certain. Here, could you picture, you know, a top athlete immediately before performing or in, you know, getting the sharpest mental and physical condition is going to sit there and smoke pot for a while? Highly questionable. What about issues? You know, we have all the statistics with drunk driving and things like that. Are there parallels with people smoking pot and it impairing their reflexes or their mental capabilities?
Absolutely. It slows down the motor skills. Now, I can speak for experience. When I used to smoke pot, 1 minute after that, I couldn't remember where my keys were. Maybe you had that experience also. It slows down your motor skills. It impairs your memory. It causes brain damage. It enhances mental deficiencies. This is a dope, and that's why the federal government have it as a Schedule I drug, because it is. Now, we want to say there's some medical benefits to it. Well, you know, if there's some medical benefits to it, then let's dispense it the way we dispense the rest of the medicine. Yep. Not by a recommendation card, which anybody can get a recommendation card for a bad hair day. I'm telling you, you can walk in and get a recommendation card less than a minute by any chronic pain that you claim. And so if there's medicine in it, let's do the research. Let's dispense it correctly so that our youth will not have access to it.
Yeah, absolutely. Bishop Allen, if you could just stay with me one more moment. We've got a quick break. I want folks to know how they can connect with you and what you're doing, especially folks that will be hearing this broadcast in California. The good news is, in 45 minutes, taking your calls, I've not heard a single person give a single good reason on this broadcast for the legalization of marijuana. That's good news.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
The marijuana can mess you up.
Right. We've been getting high for what, 15 years? Nothing's ever happened. Did I get into all the drugs and start mugging people? Nah, didn't do anything. In fact, I'd say I'm exactly the same as when I smoked my first joint.
Eddie, did you even look for a job today?
No, Ma.
Marijuana can make nothing happen to you, too.
All right, that was a PSA, public service announcement from the 1980s, but with plenty of truth in it. My guest, as we've been talking about the legalization of marijuana, Bishop Dr. Ronnie Allen, founder of the International Faith-Based Coalition. Bishop Allen, when you are watching now what's happened, say, in Colorado, can you already say, look at what's happening, or look at the wrong effects, or look at what it's opened the door to, or is it going to take longer before you'll be able to point that out?
No, we can see that right now. We can see that the black market is absolutely rising, and the marijuana that's coming out of the state of Colorado to Kansas and Texas and different places. And we absolutely know that the cartel have set up shop there to undercut any store, dispensary that sale or price because of the taxes that are on marijuana. And we also understand that the increase of local drug dealers, of course, you're going to have the black market, Dr. Brown, because Amendment 64 only caters to 21 and over. Who's going to sell dope to those that are 20 years old? That's the black market. Never going to go away. So all the states need to take a close look at that. And, what, 2-3 weeks ago, we had a young man that was 19 years old, ate a cookie filled with laced with marijuana and jumped to his death in Colorado. What's it going to take? Please let me say this. And I know that some individuals that are listening to me will understand this. We are in great spiritual warfare. And I know some of the politicians don't understand that. I know some of our governors and senators and individuals that don't know God as their Lord and their Savior don't understand that language. But this is one of the greatest spiritual warfares that this nation has ever seen. Satan trying to grab the mind of our youth to turn this nation on its head through marijuana. How do you educate an intoxicated mind? Saints, we really have to pray. God is bigger than anyone else or anybody that wants to legalize marijuana.
Yeah, and those really are prophetically true words that cut to the core of the issue, and I so appreciate you doing this and speaking up. May the Lord give you more and more voice to the nation on this. Sir, how can folks connect with you if they want to find out more about the work that you're doing? What's the best way on internet to connect with you?
Yes, please connect with me. My email address is very simple. Email me directly at Dr. My last name, Allen, A-L-L-E-N, I as in Inez, F as in Frank, B as in boy, C as in Charles, at yahoo.com. Dr. Allen, I-S-D-C, at yahoo.com. And we will certainly look forward to responding to you. And if anybody's out there If you're on any type of drug, if you're addicted, call somebody. Get some help. If you're smoking marijuana, the only way that you will stay in bondage is by keeping it a secret. God wants you delivered more than you want to be delivered. I know. 7 years of crack cocaine in my life, 15 years of walking free. I promise you. Get on the phone. Call someone. Call your pastor, your bishop, your imam. Call someone. Call Dr. Brown and ask for some help. And be that witness that God wants you to be and be set free. Thank you so very much, Dr. Brown.
Well, thank you for coming on the air with us. I do appreciate it. God bless you. Appreciate Bishop Allen making himself that accessible as well. 866-34-TRUTH. All right, one more call very quickly. Karen in Gaithersburg, Maryland. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hello. How are you?
I'm doing very well, thanks.
I'm absolutely impressed with the guest you just had on. And I do want to say this. The one thing I did read was exactly what he said, an article that was speaking on how the black market has ramped it up and they're not going to go away. The other thing that impressed me, he said, was that you can't teach a mind.
You can't educate an intoxicated mind, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. But the black market's not going to go away. The black market is dangerous.
And the thing is, again, when you now say, okay, this part is all right, this part is fine, now who's going to monopolize on the rest of it? In other words, if I can get you to have one foot in the house, whereas before you wouldn't, and I own that house, well, I'm going to take advantage of that, you know, spiritually speaking or economically speaking. Look, these really are major issues. And the fact that alcohol is legal and we have all of the issues that we do have with it, and there's still profound differences even between someone, say, having a glass of wine with a meal and they've never been drunk in their lives versus smoking pot and getting high. I don't think you can compare those at all. But many issues, Karen, thanks for seconding what Bishop Allen just said. And by the way, if you call your imam for help, he's not going to help you be a witness for Jesus. Obviously, Bishop Allen is working with different faiths to say, let's stand together against infiltration of drugs in our society. I appreciate that. But obviously, to do what God wants you to do, you'll have to call on the name of the Lord. And I'm talking about Jesus. Friends, one encouraging thing that is happening, when I wrote my book, Hyper Grace, I knew that it was going to trigger responses. The moment I began writing articles, immediately responses started to come. I fully expected that. Look, my friend Rabbi Shmuley wrote the book, Kosher Jesus. I wrote The Real Kosher Jesus. There are going to be responses. Pastor John MacArthur wrote Strange Fire. I wrote Authentic Fire. Obviously, this is the life I live. I'm on the front lines with this. So there are now books coming out attempting to refute my book, Hyper Grace. But the good thing I'm noticing, if you haven't read Hyper Grace, by all means do. If you've read it, please post a review on Amazon, Amazon.com. But what's encouraging to see is that there are people saying, no, we don't teach this. We don't teach that. Oh, well, good, because I've had people defend those very things for years. Now you're saying you don't teach it. Glad to hear that. We're making progress one way or another for whatever reason or cause. And on that light, my next book is due out in less than a month. Can You Be Gay and Christian? It's the unavoidable topic in the church today, and one that we really need to understand. And I've been asked for so many years, Mike, do you have anything on this? Well, we finally written the book. You can pre-order a numbered and signed copy. So this is just with the first printing. We numbered the first few hundred. So in that sense, it's kind of a collector's item. I sign it with a scripture for you. And most importantly, you get the book. $30, postage paid. Go to my website right now, Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org. You can order right off the website or by calling 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line today, I see nothing good when a society goes too hot. Well, more and more states are talking about legalizing marijuana, and some Christians even think it's a good idea. What? And then what about Christian pastors engaging in violent combat sports and saying that Jesus is pleased with it?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Well, I've just been... Last hour, just been on the air for an hour, which is always the case before I start talking to you in this second hour. just asked our listeners about legalization of pot, legalization of marijuana, what they had to say. And we put in a separate category the possible use of medical marijuana if it could be justified on any level. And as we talked about that, we said even if it could be by prescription, then it would be ingested a different way. We're not talking about smoking pot. But the good news is, after 1 hour, and with a special guest who weighed in as well, did not hear one single good argument for the legalization of marijuana. Now, we may continue the debate in the second hour. Maybe some of you feel passionately as a secular person or as a spiritual person, where you want to weigh in. But we're going to pick up another controversial subject, and it's getting wide attention in another level. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. To introduce the subject, Joey, let's play clip number 6.
God, you have called us to a fight.
When Preston came up with the idea of having a fight club in the church, it was an easy thing to say yes to. Tough guys need Jesus too.
You guys like to see me fight another pastor?
We'll just be a couple of God-fearing men punching each other in the face.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Pastor versus Pastor.
Tonight, we got to fight. And then we'll talk about Jesus tomorrow when we go to church.
All right, there is a new documentary that is about to come out called Fight Club, Church Fight Club, as written up in a number of media outlets here. I'm looking at a Fox News report from April 6th. A new documentary examines the relationship between Christianity and mixed martial arts as it follows a group of pugilistic pastors who would rather beat each other up in the cage than do as Jesus and turn the other cheek. Quote, we'll be just be a couple of God-fearing men punching each other in the face. Obviously, just heard that quote. The movie also raises the question, can you love your neighbor as yourself and at the same time knee him in the face as hard as you can? Is this different than playing football or hockey? Is this any different than guys just competing and, hey, they're both doing it for fun? Is it crazy to even raise that question because this is violence with the purpose of violence and violence for entertainment's sake, and the more violent the knockout and the more brutal the punishment, the more enjoyable the event? Is it just the modern-day version of gladiatorial practice? Is it just part of our culture's bloodlust? By the way, I'm not questioning the salvation of individuals here. There are some that refer to themselves being Christian and athletes, and I wonder how they could be Christians and athletes when you read about they're living with their girlfriend and having kids out of wedlock. So the violent part of it is almost secondary to the larger lifestyle, and you wonder what form of Christianity that is. So I'm not sitting here as judge of people whom I don't know and saying that if you engage in violent sport, you can't be a Christian. I'm asking, is it right? Is it justifiable? Is about being entertained by it? 866-34-TRUTH. We will be right back.
Send it, Lord.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Nonviolence was kind of Jesus' trademark. Kind of his big thing. To not follow that part of it is like joining Greenpeace and hating whales.
All right. Now, this is a rare moment on the Line of Fire broadcast where I agree with Bill Maher. I actually quoted him a few days ago about the gay mafia comment he made. It was Bill Maher 2011. Interestingly, last hour, I played a clip from Pat Robertson saying that he was for the legalization of marijuana. So how about that? Disagreed with Pat Robertson and agreed with Bill Maher in the same two-hour time frame. That's got to be a first. Let me just give you a little of the mindset of the some of the quotes from this Fight Church documentary that's coming out. And then we'll talk about it, and we'll take your calls on marijuana as well. 866-34-TRUTH. Look, I personally can find, excuse me, watching mixed martial arts or watching boxing to be entertaining. And I've watched things and said, well, I shouldn't be entertained by that. It's too violent. And so I'm just being honest. I could watch things and say, you know, I enjoy the sports end of it or the skill set of it, etc. But then I say to myself, okay, if this is done consistently, will that concuss this person? Will it cause brain damage? Could you imagine, you know, that you see somebody, they're bloodied up, their eyes are, you know, their eyes swollen shut, they've got to get stitches. And what happened? Oh, two of us were just messing around. And that's what, you know, I pounded him as hard as I could until, you know, he was ready to knock out. But then he got me with his elbow in the face and knocked my tooth out. And, oh, and that's fine. That's not violence. That's not fighting. That's not trying to hurt the person. Now, look, I work out when I can at a place about 10 minutes from our studio, and they teach jiu-jitsu there. And I know it's quite a workout, and I know it's a very challenging workout, and it's very scientific, etc. And I understand there are many, many skills involved, and I understand that there are kids that were getting in trouble on the streets, and they ended up going into a boxing gym, and they ended up becoming professional boxers, and that's what turned their lives around. I understand all of that. And I understand there are other people that, you know, they say this is what they do. The question is, can it be justified for Christians to be the ones doing these things? 866-34-TRUTH. Let's play a couple more of these clips. We'll start with clip number 7. Again, this is from the official trailer of Fight Church. And it's not just about mixed martial arts, and even not just about Christians involved with mixed martial arts, but even pastors having fight clubs in their churches and saying, hey, it's a way to bring people in. Do we draw lines? You want to bring tough people in? Is this the way you do it? What if you want to bring lustful people in? You bring them in by having scantily clad gals to bring the lustful men in so they'll come into your church. You know, what if you have people with other interests? You know, I understand tough is different than lustful, but if tough means violent, you're talking sin. Let's play clip number 7.
At the end of the day, it's about reaching people with the gospel, regardless of what you do to introduce them into a relationship with Jesus Christ.
Punch to the face. Now go for the choke right there.
I carry my faith inside the cage with me.
I probably wouldn't be in the position I am today if I wasn't a Christian.
All right. Now, what about the mentality that whatever you have to do, you do to reach people with the gospel? I mean, you really want to carry that out? How many of you know about a movement called the Children of God that came out of the Jesus People movement and then went heretical, became a full-blown cult? How many of you have heard of that? What they did is the way that they grew was by seduction, literally. They would send their gals out, their pretty gals out, to meet different men and seduce them and get involved with them romantically to bring them into the cult. That's literally how they did it. So obviously the idea, whatever it takes to bring someone in to hear the gospel, no Christian in their right mind actually believes that without all kinds of qualification. I mean, I don't want to begin to list all kinds of crazy things, but, you know, I don't think I need to expose the absurdity of that mindset. Clip number 8, again, from the Fight Church official trailer.
Mainstream Christianity has feminized men.
If we would raise our boys to be men, these kind of problems go away.
As I progress in my Christian life, I start to see a conflict there.
Cage fighting does not speak about loving one another. Cage fighting is about hating one another, basically.
God said, don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged, because I'm your God and I'll be with you wherever you go. Right?
Lucas, get your hands up! Okay, on the one hand, I do agree that there's been a lot of feminizing of men in our church circles. I believe that in many cases, and there have been various movements and Wild at Heart and different things that are trying to encourage men to be men and so on. Yes, I believe that there has been a feminizing of men in the church in America in many ways. I agree with that. So do you now engage in violent sports to overcome that? And, you know, the idea, well, you know, just be tough, be strong, be of good courage. Well, why not throw them actually into military battle? You really want to toughen them up. Why not do what they do in some other countries and put the kid on the front lines in military battle and put a gun in their hands when they're 10 years old? And, hey, if you really want to be tough, why have protective gloves and why have protective headgear for kids? I mean, put knives in their hands. Yeah, yes, yes, I am being totally facetious. I am being totally sarcastic. And, you know, can't you get a kid to be tough by just making them, hey, you know, do wind sprints? I remember in high school, and I just played freshman basketball. That was all I played. But I remember, you know, doing these wind sprints. And man, we hate it. You sprint, and then you stop, turn around, sprint, stop, turn around. And you started getting some level of pain. Or you could just, look, you have a good fitness trainer. And you can get that person to put you through a workout, and you find out who the men are in that sense. You find out who the tough ones are. And a lot of women are a whole lot tougher than men when it comes to these kind of things. There are many ways to get somebody to be tough without having, say, 2 8-year-old kids punching each other in the face. And if I'm punching you in the face, I'm doing it to hurt you. I'm not doing it to help you. I'm not doing it to bless you. It's one thing, you know, you can wrestle without hurting each other. And I believe, you know, you can do jujitsu moves and things like that, or you can just work out with a bag. But if I am trying to hit you hard a certain place, a certain way, it is to inflict pain or to knock you out. And if that is the goal of the sport, how is it spiritually justifiable? Clip number 9.
Jesus never quit. Jesus never tapped out. He finished what he came to do.
If you really want the enemy off your trail, you got to learn to put your foot on his neck. Somebody shout Jesus.
All right, first thing, Jesus never tapped out or quit. All right, well then, why don't we get crucified and see how long we can take that? I mean, yes, he did a lot more than not tap out. He went to the cross. If we really want to see how tough we are, then everyone should have to be on the front lines of the military. We're just left in some survival set. I mean, look, I understand the language. I understand trying to be relevant to the culture. But to me, it is the height of absurdity to use these images now for spiritual training. You want to be a warrior? You want to be a warrior? Shut the door and get alone with God and seek his face in prayer. And take on some demonic strongholds in Jesus' name. You want to be a warrior, say no to the flesh. Oh, look, I understand there's a lot of discipline. I understand. I've looked at it for many years. A boxer, you know, will train and maybe for 2 months will be away from family, you know, for an elite-level fight. And they will train hours and hours a day, and they'll start the day with, you know, a five-mile run, and they'll do this and they'll do that, and high skill level, and they'll keep a certain diet. Some of them will abstain from sexual relations, so they'll have full energy when they get in the fight, and that's what they believe is going to be best. There's a certain discipline involved in doing that. I'm not denying that. But taking up your cross, standing as a witness for Jesus in your school, leading a Bible study in your place of business, that's being a man in that sense. That's being a man or woman of courage. Yes, you got to have courage, either courage or lacking something to get into a cage with other people that could severely hurt you or damage you. Yes, I understand that. But I'd say it takes even more courage to be in the front lines of the military. Therefore, do we just do that? Okay, we'll shoot at you over here. All right, I've said enough. We'll come back, take your calls. And the phones are open to weigh in on marijuana as well. Should it be legal?
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to the Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. Any of you listening that before you knew the Lord used to be pot smokers, as I was from 1969 to 1971, before the Lord transformed my life, was that a gateway drug for you to other drugs? If not for going through that gateway, would you have done the other drugs you did, if you did? Aside from potential medical use, in which case you're talking about something being prescribed by a doctor and you're talking about something that could be ingested, eaten rather than smoked, can anyone tell me how society would benefit by legalizing marijuana? Can anyone tell me how society would be helped by, as I say, going to pot? 866-34-TRUTH. All right, just back to the issue of men in church and the feminizing of Christianity. It's interesting that if you look at, in an Orthodox Jewish gathering, very religious Jewish gathering, if you look at that, you will see men clearly in the lead. Now, some would say that it's chauvinistic and heavily male-oriented because men can do certain things women can't, but there's a tremendous esteem and honor for women in traditional Judaism, and women normally feel that they have a wonderful place in it, especially as wives and mothers. But in an Orthodox Jewish wedding, ultra-Orthodox in particular, you have the men celebrating on one side and the women celebrating on the other side. In the synagogue service, you have the men in one part and the women in another part. And I'm not saying that's the right way to do everything, but I'm making a point. And you will see men with a very honored and respected role, and you will see elders, older men, leading the way as highly respected. That would reflect a lot more biblical culture and esteem for elders, recognition of male leadership. It would certainly reflect something that would be much closer to biblical culture than often what we are used to. And there's an article that I'm looking at here. It's Thomas Long, Faith Matters, October of 2011, Why Do Men Stay Away? Talking about here in America, what is it with men in church? We men are famously outnumbered, to be sure. According to a recent survey, we make up only 39% of the worshipers in a typical congregation. Now, there is strong evidence for the supernatural spread of the gospel among women in the ancient world, in the ancient pagan world, that many of them were drawn in. And they were drawn in very high numbers, one reason being that it was very liberating for women in the midst of a pagan world, and men were held to now a sexual purity standard, as opposed to just the women having to be chaste. Look, in the Muslim world, you hear about honor killings happening on a regular basis, and maybe a father or brother will kill a younger sister because she had sexual relations with her boyfriend out of wedlock. They kill her. They didn't kill the boyfriend. there's a total inequality in the system. And maybe the guy's sleeping around or doing what he's doing, but if the girl does it, off with her head, so to say. Now, as the gospel spread in the ancient pagan world, and anthropologist and historian Rodney Stark pointed this out in his book, The Rise of Christianity, as it spread in the ancient world, it had a certain positive effect on many, many different aspects of society. And by the way, it helped end gladiatorial combat, which was literally to the death. The spread of the gospel in the ancient Roman world helped eliminate that. It helped reduce infanticide and eliminate it where the gospel spread even more and more, as well as abortion. And as the gospel spread, more and more women came to faith and now found something where men, if they were to be married, the men in their lives would also be held to a sexual purity standard, not just the women. And there are other reasons why the gospel was liberating in a culture where women could be kept down in particular. That being said, is there a reason that men are not drawn to a lot of our gospel today? Excuse me. There is a pastor that I spoke with who's been very, very outspoken about the issue of black churches. This is a black pastor speaking to me. And he was saying that the whole appeal of the way in the African-American culture, especially charismatic Pentecostal, but in many Baptist circles as well, a certain style of preaching and ministry appeals more to a woman, appeals more, I don't mean in a physical way, but in a style of preaching. Look, men relate to things a little differently than women do. And it's not always the case. It's not always across the board, but often is the case that there are different ways of relating, men relating, women relating, and you can cater to one more than the other. So the idea that men have been feminized in the church today, or that we feminize our Christianity, it's just very soft and nice. Look, I know they're tough women, I understand, but I'm just speaking more broadly, all right? When it comes to wedding day, the bride, generally speaking, is much more involved in picking out the colors and wanting it to be a certain way and this and that. And the bridesmaids wear a certain dress and things. They'd be more into that part by nature. Each one has strengths. Each one has weaknesses. That's why we need each other. That's why men marry women and women marry men, because of the gender complementarity. But I do believe that we have catered to not the feminine as much as just a softness in the gospel, which then will cater to feminine, and there is not the call to real radical service that calls us all to be tough, men and women, following Jesus. 2 Timothy 2, endure hardship as a good soldier of Messiah Jesus. That's for men and women alike, but obviously an image especially for man in the ancient world. Okay, we come back. We will go to the phones and talk to you about legalization of marijuana. But please, special announcement for all of my friends in Greater Charlotte, North Carolina. Today is Wednesday, which means tomorrow is Thursday. Thursday, April 10th, tomorrow, 7 p.m., Gordon Conwell Theological Seminary. It's in the south part of Charlotte. Gordon Conwell Theological Seminary. I will be having a debate dialogue 7 p.m. with James Michael Smith on Israel, the Palestinians, eschatology, ecclesiology, ethics. Admission is free. 7 p.m., Gordon Conwell Theological Seminary, tomorrow night. Maybe a good crowd, so get there early. And are you a monthly supporter? Are you standing with us? Are you helping us on the front lines? Are you helping us reach the lost sheep of the house of Israel? Are you helping us make a difference in America and in the nations? Why not become a torchbearer today? Why not become a monthly supporter? Put aside a dollar a day. Can you do that? Put aside a dollar a day to become a torchbearer. My thank you gift will be A Queer Thing Happened to America, 700 pages, $35 value with postage. My thank you gift is you become a torchbearer today. Go to my website, askdrbrown.org. Right on the homepage, you can join us. Stand with us as we make a difference.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Save the nations.
your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I became sort of a hero of the hippie culture, I guess, when I said I think we ought to decriminalize the possession of marijuana. I just think it's shocking how many of these young people wind up in prison and they get turned into hardcore criminals because they have had possession of a very small amount of a controlled substance. I mean, the whole thing is crazy. It's time we stop locking up people for possession of marijuana.
All right. I played that clip in the first hour, but I felt I had to play it again. Pat Robertson explaining why he feels marijuana should be legalized. Now, again, the good news, we opened the phone lines for an hour, and our phone lines were jammed in the first hour. And then I had a guest, Bishop Ron Allen, come on the broadcast to talk with us and didn't have a single good reason from anyone why marijuana should be legalized. And Bishop Allen pointed out that already in Colorado there are issues, there are problems arising that are inevitable, including what will be the rise of the black market and more illegal drugs and more influencing of young people with drugs and casualties as a result of it and down the list. And again, can't see a single reason why we even want to countenance it. And the idea that we'll make money from it. Well, a lot of things you can make money from that you don't legalize. Holland legalized prostitution. Germany legalized prostitution. You have unions and so on. Does that make it right? You may say, well, it protects people. Well, best way to protect people is to encourage them not to break the law and not to do destructive things. 866-34-TRUTH. But please, if you differ with me, call. Or if you agree, that's fine. Now, one other point. There are Christians who say, well, if it was legal, I would smoke pot. There's nothing in the Bible against it. And no reason not to. To me, that's crazy, just to be blunt. That kind of thinking is crazy. And when I hear believers say that, I wonder about the soundness of their walk with God, to be totally honest, to totally straight with you. There you go. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Graham, North Carolina. Jay, welcome to the line of fire.
All right, Dr. Steve. I've been watching you many times, and I listen to you regularly, and I just want to thank you for what you do on
the radio.
I enjoyed many of your topics, and just enjoy your show, period.
Thank you.
I'm about in the late 50s. In 1975 and 1976, in the bicentennial, I was addicted to heroin for 2 years. I have been clean ever since then. I thank God for that. I mean, I've seen many people drop coming down the road. And so as I look and I see just the thing that I have with the legal marijuana is I think it would be a better alternative to prescription drugs. People that use marijuana don't shoot up schools or jump off bridges or some other things. And I know I'm pointing at that. But there are good aspects of it. I know that they have epileptic patients that use some of it, some and different aspects of it. And
Well, you know, Jay, just to say this, and thanks for your kind words and for being a regular listener. I really appreciate that.
Sure.
The one thing I'd say is that the legalization for medical purposes, to me, is a totally different question. And you're not talking about smoking it anyway. Smoking it has other negative effects. So if someone needed it, it could benefit them on a prescription level, and they'd ingest it in some other form for medical purposes, that's not the argument at all. So I appreciate you bringing that up at the outset. To me, I'm just thinking about legalizing marijuana for recreational use. Can't see a single good reason to do it. Thank you, sir, for the call.
God of light, hear our cry, send the fire.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to the Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go right back to the phones. I'll tell you what, before we get back to the marijuana issue, let's take at least one call on the Fight Club issue. Danette in Las Vegas, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown. How are you today?
Very well, thanks.
I was kind of hoping that more people would have called in on this. Because I do have a concern about the martial arts in the church due to the roots, the spiritual roots of you know, where it came from, like the Buddhist and Zen philosophy. And at one time I was doing a lot of research on it. And like with karate, some of the moves are, the practices are called, forgive my pronunciation if it's wrong, but katas. And it was, what I learned, it was actually like the energy that is flowing through the person's body, the chi, and even the practice of the bowing before they begin. I had read about the dojo, meaning that when they bow, they're entering into a private world. And when I think of that along with yoga, like Christians that practice yoga, it's also very deeply spiritually rooted in Buddhism. And a lot of the moves are actually postures to worshiping false gods.
Yeah, and you know, Danette, just on that score, and yeah, in fact, we've been flooded today with marijuana-related calls, and that's what we're focusing on. But yeah, on the violence issue, I think there are two things. One, the question of origin, roots, and are those things being brought in? That's always a fair question to ask when we're dealing with something that can come from another culture. The place where I work out when I can, they have a class that a lady leads at different days called Holy Yoga, and she's got scriptures up, and she wants, I haven't met her, but I understand she's a committed Christian, and she wants people to know, hey, we're just doing physical exercise, and there's nothing else to it, no other connection. So that's a fair question. Maybe one day, if there was sufficient interest, I'd have some folks on to debate both sides of the yoga issue, the side you're mentioning, and are there spiritual connections, and others that just say, hey, it's just physical movement. The thing, though, that, so these are valid issues. The thing to me that I wonder about, that I shouldn't say I wonder about, it's clear to me, but that I wanted to discuss, has to do with violence, that how can I, you know, it's not a matter of, again, having a wrestling match, and, you know, you're doing, we used to do that as kids, and, you know, you're just playing some competitive sport with each other. You're talking about really inflicting pain on another person and really seeking to hurt them in a certain way that, although you might not intend to, could well incapacitate long term. And then there's the enjoyment of it. There is the bloodlust and the entertainment and violence, which are the other larger issues. But Danette, thank you so much for calling. I do appreciate it. And these are things that I'm sure will come up in further discussions in the coming days. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Tampa, Florida. Keith, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hello. Hello, Dr. Brown. I've been listening to you for a while. Kind of got an answer for both of the topics.
Yeah, go
but,
for it.
The caller before was talking about, I've been practicing. I got beat up when I was 14. And my mom stuffed me in Taekwondo. I got 18 and started practicing karate. Started going to church. And, yeah, the animal movement is kind of pagan. But, you know, I got into the, you know, the different Tai Chi. So I've been around. So I got into Wing Chun, and it takes all the animal and all the paganistic. You know, I never felt right going to those classes, being that I, you know, I believed in Christ, and I was, it was too mixed in with paganism. But martial arts, I believe, you know, everyone has should have the right to protect themselves. You know, praying that God protect you first. I'm trying to keep it practical.
Oh, yeah, and a lot of folks, absolutely, they're trained in this for the purpose of self-defense.
And, yeah,
and it's not a matter of entertainment by violence or anything like that. No connection whatsoever. Sure.
Yeah.
All clear.
14 to 43, I never had to beat anybody up severely. I just had to protect myself. It's not the heart that I have. But the marijuana issue in Florida, I have talked to different denominations. And we down in Florida, we're saying, oh, it's going to be a mess. And we talked about, well, a couple of the Christians, you know, different denominations, they're saying, well, what about the prescription drugs like oxycodone, which is an opiate, the different ones they give them for, that has heroin in it, codeine, which is a derivative of cocaine, and different, and they, you know, the argument, basically, is, you know, okay, if you, because you're a real practical thinker with the scripture. The thing that we were getting at was, well, if they're using this, you know, and how many people in the church are taking, you know, pain pills and different stuff. And that basic argument was, okay, it'll be another prescription in the pharmacy. I'm not trying to, you know, rationalize it. But we were saying, well, you know, how many people in the church are taking these, you know, things for pain, and this just would be another thing, and should the people not take prescription, any prescription?
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. We have a drug abusing culture in general, Keith, and we have a lot of people who legitimately start with a pain medication. They legitimately need it, and then they become addicted to pain pills and painkillers and other drugs. That's a major issue. But we're talking about the legalization of pot for recreational use, and then you have everything that comes with it. Again, I've not heard a single argument as to what benefit it gives to society. It is a gateway drug to other drugs. It does affect people's motor skills. It does affect clarity of thinking. It does affect even motivation and drive. And it brings a whole lot of other things with it. There is a reason that there was a hippie culture. There was a reason there was a drug culture, that these things are not merely, you know, just even smoking a cigarette has certain bad facets to it, but it doesn't lead. It's not a doorway or a gateway to other things that are more abusive with nicotine. And there's not a culture that comes with it. But hey, Keith, good talking to you, and I do appreciate the call. And for the believer, that's clear. I mean, we're called to be sober. This would be totally legal. That's not an issue to me. We're called to be sober. And as a guest shared with us in the last hour, compared to when he did drugs before he was saved and when I did drugs over 40 years ago before I was saved, marijuana today is much more potent. So you can't even compare that to someone having a glass of wine or a glass of beer with dinner, as is very common in Europe and certain other cultures. You wouldn't find Christians doing that, say, in Africa or India, hardly at all. You'd find it very commonly in Europe, but that's very different from smoking a joint. In terms of, you could have, your average person could have that glass of, I abstain totally, it's just been my lifestyle in the Lord, but you could have someone have a glass of wine with a meal. And for them, it's no different than a glass of water. They've never been high. They've never been tipsy. There's never been anything beyond it in their entire life. On the other hand, that's not going to be the same with smoking pot. Plus, now your kids come home. It's legal. Mom, dad doing it in the house. And the kids aren't going to participate more. And on it goes. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Raleigh, North Carolina. James, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Good afternoon, Dr. Brown. Yeah, I listen to you pretty avidly, so I actually wanted to comment on both topics, if that's okay. I can do that pretty quick.
Yeah, go for it.
First, on the martial arts issue, obviously, martial arts has a lot of different origins and roots, and obviously, I don't see an issue with it regarding, like, if you're practicing it as a sport, which is how a lot of them were intended, like just a contact sport not intended to hurt another individual, or in self-defense. But I don't think you can justify intentional harm on another person in any act other than self-defense and rectify that with Christ's message. I just don't think that's possible. So I'm pretty much against the whole fighting church thing. Because I just don't think that, that practicing inflicting pain on another human being.
Yeah, and being entertained by it. And if I'm really going to try to nail you, look, there are things where you can do in terms of submission skills and things with jiu-jitsu and stuff like that, or other aspects where you're not actually going to hurt someone, and you're going to stop short of that, and it's just you're going to stop them from doing something or incapacitate them, which ends up being different than I kicked you in the face, right? I need you in the liver. All right, tell you what, stay right there, and we'll hear from you quickly on marijuana when we come back. And get to as many other calls on the other side of the break as we can. Stay with us.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us on the Line of Fire. We're talking about the legalization of marijuana, which for recreational use, which I'm completely against, no justification for. Okay, real quick, back to James in Raleigh. Thanks again for joining us.
Thanks again. My comment was simply the regarding the comments you made that some of your Christian friends saying that they would do it if it was legal.
Well, no friends of mine. I've heard it from other friends of friends, but no friends of mine. actually,
my apologies.
Yeah, that's okay.
But the thing is, I don't understand if you read the Bible makes it pretty clear that we're to be of sound mind and sound judgment at all times. And even though it doesn't directly mention marijuana, you do that, you can treat the same way you treat anything else in the Bible and understand the spirit of the Bible and the spirit of God written into the Bible. The Bible speaks avidly against things like drunkenness and public debauchery and things like that. Anytime you alter the way you think and make yourself no longer a sound mind, that would fall in line with drunkenness and various other things that the Bible
speaks. Yeah, absolutely. Look, how can I practice being sober and being sober-minded and get high? Explain how I can do that. How can I practice being sober-minded and get high for recreational purposes? 866-34-TRUTH. Let's go to Janae in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yes, thank you, Dr. Brown. I just wanted to make a comment about the marijuana. I'm a Christian, and I have a relationship with God, and I just am not in favor of anything that doesn't edify the body of Christ nor the Word of God. So I'm just totally against legalizing marijuana. So.
Yeah, again, people say it'll bring in money. Well, lots of things bring in money. They're destructive. And the larger culture, what good does it do, can it do? Yeah, it's as simple to me, dear sister, it's as simple to me as it is to you. When we look at larger society, and we're not trying to reintroduce prohibition to ban alcohol in all forms, but we are saying that you cannot even compare marijuana with alcohol for non-drunken purposes. And we have enough issues as it is. This just opens the floodgates to more. Let's go to Fort Worth, Texas. John, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hey man, how's it going?
Going well, thanks.
I just want to say, first of all, I'm a Christian, and I do not at all advocate Christian smoking marijuana, but I was saved recently, like a couple years ago, like out of the music industry. So I was like a raging pothead. I spent most of my time stoned, and like I was in Denver whenever the legalization of marijuana happened, and I can tell you, like, everyone was already smoking weed up there to begin with, like it being legalized, like because it was for medical use already, but you could pick up a newspaper and call a doctor that'll say like, oh, what's your problem? You'd be like, oh, my knee hurts. He's like, all right, here's your prescription,
Yeah. And then you're going to smoke it too, which is negative, but right.
Yeah. But all I'm saying is like, I don't think it's like the best idea because like to put people that are like not, otherwise law abiding citizens in prison with, like violent offenders, because
they are possessing like a plant that grows naturally out of the dirt. Like,
but yeah, like I said, help me understand something, John. And I'm glad you're out of the lifestyle you're in. I appreciate that. And obviously, you know, you're sober, and being a pothead, you're not sober. I was there 42 years ago, but from what I understand, you are not going to be in a prison with violent offenders if you were caught having a small amount of marijuana on you, especially as a first-time offender. I just don't think that happens, and that's certainly not why you legalize it. If that is a problem, then you just say, okay, we have to look more carefully at first-time offender issues, and if we're being unfair in the carrying out of sentencing. But for the most part, the prisons are overfull, the legal system's overfilled. You're not looking for more people to convict. You know, people are walking more than anything. But when you just see that there is a certain effect here, let me ask you this, John. You're going to have more and more people doing it. My friend Frank Turek always points out that the law can do three things. It can prohibit something, it can permit something, it can promote something. When you legalize it, there's a certain promotion that comes with it. Can you tell me, as someone that was a self-described former pothead, any positive value to society if more and more people smoke pot?
No, I absolutely can't. But at the same time, like, I don't think it's necessarily something that us as Christians should spend so much time arguing about, because I don't think more and more people are smoking weed every day, like, whether it's legal or not, you know, like, I think we should be more worried about other things. I don't think it's really going to make a difference one way or the other if it's legal or not.
So let me ask this, John. I've been on the air now 6 years, for the most part, 2 hours daily talk, about 6 years, and 2 hours of talk for most weeks, 2 hours live talk. So you figure out how many thousands and thousands of hours. This is the second show in memory that I have devoted to the discussion of legalizing marijuana. So would you say that we're talking about it too much in that context? And let me just say this, because more and more people are smoking it. That's the culture that we are dealing with, and it's promoted in many ways. It's promoted through the media. It's promoted just by the normalizing of it. And I think the bigger thing, just to recognize, it's part of the ongoing decadence and decline of society. Just get more and more carnal. Wow, man, I wasn't aware of that one. Weed Wars on Discovery Channel. Wow. All right. Hey, friends, hate to leave the phone lines jammed, but we are out of time. Obviously, the fact that so many of you wanted to weigh in the last 2 hours indicates that this is an issue of concern, and more states are discussing this. No, it's not the end of the world. It's just another foolish step. all right. One issue that we can't avoid, one issue that we must address, it affects the church you go to, it affects friends, family members, it affects the culture. What about the question, can you be gay and Christian? What do you tell someone who's same-sex attracted, wants to please the Lord? What do you tell someone who says that we're misinterpreting Scripture when we say that God is against committed homosexual relationships? My book, Can You Be Gay and Christian, is the book that you have been waiting for, that you will find tremendously useful and written with great compassion, so you can give it to anyone on any side of the debate. The book will be released in less than a month. The first few hundred copies that come in, and only those, we number, and then I sign them with a scripture for you so that you get a special numbered signed copy. $30 postage paid. Today is a great day to call 1-800-278-9978, 1-800-278-9978. Or go to my website, AskDrBrown.org, order right on the homepage, 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line today, we are called to be sober, vigilant, on guard, clear-headed, following the Lord. Do what contributes to that.